Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I was really, really looking forward to this literally all year. So thank you.
Don't worry about Paul.
Okay, cool.
He wants it.
Okay, no worries. So this is my most recent poem that I've published, so I thought I'd start off with it. It's called Sonder for her. Does anyone know the meaning of the word Sonder? Because it's not actually a real word.
It's a beautiful word.
So it means when you're walking around and you realise that every passerby has a life that's been as complex as your own.
It's a very modern word, it's a very
internet
word actually.
So I wrote this a few years ago. I wrote a shorter poem and I noticed a homeless girl on my way home. I don't know why, but she just really stuck with me because she was reading a book and I just thought it was so lovely that she could still find pieces of home and a book. And I'm going to stop rambling. And I hope you like the poem. Thanks. Walking on Pilbeg Street, an hour before midnight, I notice a girl huddled in a tattered blue sleeping bag, hunched against the October cold, the wind biting at her bones, with a face much like my own. We are mirrored in age, the reason your circumstances have changed. Chance is a game we play. Did her last roll of the dice leave her fearing things she never thought of twice? Is she afraid she will die tonight on these cracked cobblestone streets through which someone can slip so easily, with the howl of a banshee in her ears calling slowly, for her breath to be stolen with the cold, before the sun can rise to heat to her bones? Is it true that she hasn't known warmth in weeks? Is it all she can hope for in this faded out sea be a torn dream? Does she ache for it? As she attempts to lie down and sleep, to dream of the mundane brilliance she knew of fresh sheets in her own bed, lying in on a Sunday to whenever she pleased, not to be woken up to be told she better find another place to be, by another guard who doesn't know what best to do with the displaced people, the half-forgotten of our society. Does she find solace in all that she can? A stolen glance from a passing stranger, that person who showed her some kind behaviour. I wish I could walk by her at a different time and know her circumstances mirror my own. Wonder of the story that is her life, of what gives her that bright smile. As we do ponder another passerby's place in this world, wonder where she is off to tonight. What is it that gives her love in her life? The homelessness is the story of our times. All these questions are written between the lines etched into her face, but there is hope within her eyes. As they meet mine, I see there's fire inside, hoping she will soon see better times. I think of what I could do for her tonight. As I walk by, I acknowledge her presence in the streetlight's illumination. I give her what I can and let her know that I see her. For a moment, there is connection here. We are connected in the hope that change is near. Thank you. Mm. Thank you very much. So I wrote this next poem. Alice was actually the first person to read it. I wrote it as part of the What's the Story Festival that we did together. We had to write about the Liberties in Dublin. It's the oldest part of Dublin, so there's a lot of history in it. And it was one of those poems that I also got just walking by someone one night. I saw a really nice moment between a couple. And then I saw a few drunk men coming out from the pub. And then I was just kind of wondering about, you know, the people that you see at the pub just sitting there and you're like, what are they thinking about? And a poem just came from that. It's called Echo. It's called Echo of the Love. And it's a fiction poem. If you listen closely, you'll hear the hasty beating of hearts leading towards first kisses, and the half-open dreams and the memories and creation for the young lovers leaning on lampposts in the half-light of Francis Street, fingers intertwined, giving echo to the love given freely in the city, nurtured together in the hum of these streets. They grow together naturally, falling in love naturally. Soon he'll secure a job in the factory to give support to the swell of her belly and live beneath the cracks and the slats on a rooftop of flats. They'll make a home with a skyline. On nighttime feeds, watch the glimmer and glow of the light shimmering on the river peacefully. Listen to the new voice of the gurgling baby. Watches the days go by, seeing the child grow from days of crawling until the boy is grown to find his own place in the sprawl of it all. It's a familial story that they live simply, and their life will go on like this happily, their love never waning, only ever growing, laughter always echoing through their home. Their life is slowing down now as their days draw to a close. The sunlight fades in her face, so his face mirrors the same, and the lines etched into the face of the man sitting lonesome on bar stools each night tell the story of all that he has loved and all that he has lost through his life. The mere memory of his late wife twinkle like the last of burning embers in his eyes. And all that he has learned through this love will have to be enough to get him home through the nights that he walks through the rain, alone to his empty abode, along cobblestones, through the lanes that whisper of home.
So, as Ali mentioned, I ran a night, a poetry night in a Scott. I don't know if you may have heard of the Scott in Grange Gormley, because it made national headlines at one point because it was evicted forcefully by the guards. I wrote this poem after it was evicted. I saw the tired faces of friends. Indignant, dissident, determined. Lit up bright by the helicopter lights that hovered above us in the night. Brutally awakened by the noise of grinding machinery paired by guardian uniform and private security. Encroaching on our vicinity. Intimidation, violence and hostility was their only method of tyranny. They erected fences and chains that separated people temporarily. They thought of us as lesser because of their self-assumed disparity. It was their lack of morality that allowed them to act so horribly, their choices fueled by apathy. Evicting people from their homes becomes the new reality. For every one homeless person, 73 homes lie empty. This is modern day Ireland. Have we forgotten that only 100 years ago, Plunkett and Pierce gave their lives so we could be free? Parnell, who stands stone on his pillar built on the foundations of the Land League, would crumble to dust if he knew landlords still take homes of these. The dissonance of the past, a history of verse rings true, and fuels the dissonance of today. Poets and people's voices, fiery with rage, trying to propagate ideas acting as a catalyst for change. On this hour of eviction, four riot vans stood on either side of the street, ready to release their batons that could beat, and their pepper spray that could stink, wanting us to fall to our feet. We stood tall, backs held straight with conviction, this inner city crowd could resist this dereliction. If only the governments and corporations could gain some clarity, the blind eyes would see that you can only find unity when you strive for a peaceful community. The guards could never imprison this idea that homes and lives should be free. If there's one thing you take from these words, it's this. People from our history proved it's okay to disobey. It's possible to pave another way. Let not our bricks rot and our buildings lie vacant. Our collective spirit cannot fade away. Unlock it without the key. It's time to take it back. Take back your city. I've never actually performed this poem. It's more of a page poem of sorts. It's also about Grange Gormley. I think it just gives a bigger picture of the place. So a few months after, one of my housemates broke into what is now
the building site that has been turned into a student accommodation that can be rented for €250 a week. but the squats that we lived in all had different names, and Ayers had a piano in it when we found it, and so Ayers was called Piano Squat. So my housemate gave me a brick and painted a piano key on the brick, and I just thought that was really lovely, and it inspired this poem. It's called I Used to Live There. The earth and clay still wet clings to the auburn red brick, won the small sum of many that made up our old home. A home no more, but always with me. I walk by the decay in broken glass and say, I used to live there. But I did so much more than live there. Grew there, became whole there, became the person that I know I am an influence of that place. The brick and mortar, but so much more. I love there. And if you listen closely, you'll hear the heartbeat of the place on a silent day when the wind shakes the ghosts of trees that we used to sit sheltered in the shade of the sunlight on those long summer days. I could bring you now, breathe life into the disarray of all that is left along with the dust. This here is where the piano lay. My finger would tumble over keys attempting music and melodies. These walls were grey once, flicked and sprayed with swirling spools of colour. They say a picture paints a thousand words, and if I had the time I'd tell them all. Let the history sing and let the paved rivers running through the streets. Now though, all the words I have to give is I used to live there, and I remember, I remember, I remember. And I want nothing more from life than memories, love, and to know that I left something good behind in my wake. And if this brick gives some semblance of that, encrusted with the ghosts of dreams and memories, even though it's dead and gone, it's been enough for me. Thank you. I'm just going to do two more. I think I've time for that, so I wasn't keeping track. The next one is called Stories and Strikes. RTE asked me to write a poem for Women's Day last year, and they told me not to make it about repeal the 8th, so I tried to get it in there somehow. And I was inspired by my mum and my aunties, and also the massive strike that we had that took over the country that day. I can still hear the echoes of belly laughter erupting from my mother and aunties. Their mouths cracking wide into light and bold smiles. The sparks of electricity live from the stories they shared as we sat around that old table on late nights. And as I grew with them, they shared stories of the strikes that we women have fought through to bring about rights when we were denied access to leading our own lives. And all that we've been through to get to this time in my life is not led by design. Of you are a woman and then a bride. These women have taught me all that I know to be true. Through those late nights, their sparks of electricity stirred something within me. I can still feel a heart of a blaze burning and erupting from my sisters and friends, our mouths cracking wide as we scream for something new. The catalyzing lightning bolt of this strike echoing through the streets until everyone will listen to us women. Listen, and let our stories teach you all that we know to be true. Thank you. I have one more planned. But will I read the one that I wrote for the 5-word challenge?
Yeah.
For the
yeah.
Yeah, sure. I really liked all yours once, by the way. That's a real nice challenge. All the words somehow ended up in my day, because yesterday I ate donuts and played with an octopus teddy bear. So it was kind of fun. We sat in the local coffee shop, the light of the day shining in on our faces, lit up with laughter as we played the game, don't lick your lips sprinkled in the sugar covering the donuts. We absconded quickly, chasing the sun before it gave way tonight, raced to the beach in your raced up Honda Civic, covered in the debris of your life. A soft teddy bear from IKEA, sharks and octopus squishy toys, sea creatures we were in search of, and so we headed for the beach to watch the time lapse of the sunset fade quickly, take a snapshot of our faces before time gives in and I am certain that in years to come that photograph will sit somewhere near a window plastered with light, the way we were set together, bleached into a new era. This is my last poem, and thank you so much for having me. I love Cork, and thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much to Paul. I can't wait to hear the rest of your poems later. This poem is called Cyclone. George was a bike messenger for a few weeks. It was a bit of crack, but like, I'll never do it again, but I got a poem out of it. All of this is true, because no one ever believes that when I do the poem. It goes like this. A while back now, I tried my hand at currying, parcel to post box to office box to shop. Or rather, should I say, I tired my legs attempting to get to place from place in a 15-minute slot. Cyclone? Nah. This was just me on a doll's Dutch lady frame. I had no racer or fixie to speed smoothly through these streets. My first day, I'll never forget the other bike messengers' faces as they seen me decked out in yellow and black. I seen it register on their faces. Who the fuck is that? Oh shit, it's a girl on a busted up, rusted old bike. But I needed a job, so I gave it a shot, given a broken radio and the ID4 Hazel told my first job was just around the block. As I rounded the corner of that busy, bustling lane, my bike's mudguard fell off. Shit, don't need that. 13 jobs and 9 hours later, I arrived back at base, tired and achingly sore. The controller told me I did well for today, but tomorrow I could do a bit more. But the next day, I fuck up. Rolling up to Percy Place, I've realised I've made a colossal mistake. I've lost the letter. It's not my bag. So up and down the canal, I race, frantically searching for the white sheet paper, tears in my eyes and on my face. Panic wells up, and it breaks like waves. As I resign myself to the fact that I've lost the job, I remember that this work was for pickup, so I call into base and I tell them that I'll go get that letter that I never had in the first place. At lunchtime with the lads, I tell them my tale. Laughter echoes all around the base. Now I'm no longer seen as the only girl on the team, but just another friendly, smiling face. The perks of this job are angry middle fingers from Dublin bus drivers and pedestrians who get in your way. They better watch out though, because my brakes aren't working today. Soon I had a slick new bike, single speed black, when I seen it, I thought, friends are all in that. But some kid thought the same. Here, Mrs. Gives you a bike, I'll swap you for me BMX. Nah, but give me a race. He grinned and we shot off down the road, dodging taxis. I came in first place. Over the roar of the traffic, he shouted, "Whoa, for a girl, you're fast." And I seen him at the next red light, panting with his grin stretched wider across his face. Rush hour has just begun, people piled onto pavements, car horn beeps fill these streets. Red brake lights of cars creep past that I move through in haste, keeping in time with this Dublin city pace. I'm going as fast as I can, turning the corner at William Street, when someone steps blindly onto the road. I swear left, brake hard, but hit her hands. Her coffee flies into the air, and I'm spraying my hair down my back into the ground and splash, and I'm just thankful she doesn't like her coffee scalding and black. But it's a vegan's worst nightmare, spending the rest of your day stinking of milk. We exchange a few sorries, then I'm off like a shot. Remember that I'm still trying to beat this clock. Lunchtime with the lads again. We read our payslips in the canteen. Laughter turns to bellows and screams. Are you serious? That's less than the dole. Do you know what you should do with that? Stick it up your hole. My determination will be the death of me, I say, as I jump on the bike for one more day. When all of a sudden, a pit bull runs in my way. I brake hard but fly over the handlebars, hitting my head. It's true. You do see stars. Out for a moment on the ground I lay, when a happy panting pupil nudges me awake with honours who try to cheer me up by telling me that this was the dog using the show of love, hey. I stop at the next red light, just for a breather. I now know where along trundles of bus. I clip my back wheel, momentarily we're fused together in a slow motion turn, and I'm dragged 50 feet around the corner of Leeson Street. As the bus slows down, I jump off my bike, which is buckled and broken and bruised and beat. Some cyclone lads were passing by, they stopped and helped me to my feet. I tried to explain, but the only words I can say is, fuck the 46A.
more of a hand, please.